it. Yeah.
So you were at the University of Illinois, grad student 2009, and then came to the department as a head in 2012. And the numbers of dairy farmers in the state has dropped by about half. How do you, you know, digest that? How does that make you feel? And how do you use that into, you know, how you teach and how you look at the industry?
Yeah, that's something that we yearly we get updates from the state on the number of licensed farms. So we have those numbers. We have the map of Illinois, and that's something that it's first when we analyze the data, it's not something local, it's not something unique to Illinois. That's happening all over the United States, where the number of dairy farms is reducing. You know, several researchers try to look at that and try to get one reason. And I think one of the common things is whenever we have stretches of low milk prices for longer than 4 or 5 years in a row, that puts some of those farmers that were maybe too leveraged in trouble. So they now cannot pay the bills, they have to sell. And I think that's another literacy or education that we need to bring more faster in a better way, is the same thing that the same way they're looking at, oh, what is the milk per cow per day that I have? And that's my benchmark. They need a financial benchmark, you know, but even myself, I was graduated from vet school and animal science. Let's say math is not the best thing that I want to do. And I would try to see, I could maybe speak that, you know, farmers, they don't go to dairy farming because they love math. So finances is not the thing that they like the most. They like to be with the cows, maybe, right? So I think there's something coming up where some of these financial companies now, they're trying to create meetings. Just like your vet goes to your farm, you need some financial advice where they go, they put your books together, and then you have benchmarks. Hey, you cannot do this. You need to adjust in this way. So then you don't get to that point where you are just too leveraged, or in down moments, you don't have enough to keep going, because maybe in the up moments, there was not enough saved for that prediction. So I think farmers were used to good years, bad years, good years, bad years. And in the recently past, we had several bad years coming. And so I think that's pretty much how I feel, like that we were increasing the number of farms, but that's not reality. And I think we can help with the ones that are up there, bringing them some more financial information.
We're talking with Dr. Phil Cardozo here at the Dairy Summit 2024. Very interesting about the time that you came in. I noticed we talked about Dr. Mike Hutchins and Dave Fisher, who are legendary in the industry. You got to work with them, but that transition has probably been pretty exciting, and I know you learned a lot from them.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And I, you know, remember that we used to do several of this in different locations at the same time on the road. And I think the energy and the desire to help the farmer, to transmit the information in a way that they would understand, making it fun, maybe an awesome environment. I think that's why we have so many farmers here today, is because of all that history of building this program. And I, you know, for me, it was a great moment. I wish they would never retire and they could be, you know, around and doing this. But I think they taught some very valid lessons on how to communicate with people, how to be respectful, how to be grounded, you know, something that usually, you know, I don't even ask to be called by doctor, you know, trying to make it a little bit more, you know, it's just Phil, like Pollard called me Dr. Phil, you know, just making fun of it. And I think that's the spirit, right? I don't want that degree to get in the way of talking and making sure my message is communicated.
We'll head into a break and continue this conversation with Dr. Phil Cardozo, University of Illinois, talking more about the research on farm and the future of the dairy industry. This is RFD Today. Back with more RFD Today as we continue a conversation from the Dairy Summit yesterday in Freeport with Dr. Phil Cardozo, University of Illinois. You know, you talked about the changes that took place on the campus between having a dairy science program and an animal science program, et cetera. But it also seems like, you know, timing is everything, and you were at the right place at the right time for your skills and for the industry.
That's true. I think that was the case too. Now, perhaps that was the moment needed for not only digesting and transferring the information, but also generating some of that information. If you think about it, even in my short lifetime in academia, you know, when I was a student back in Brazil in the vet school, internet, email, YouTube, all that was not here. The situation we have now is that farmers, they're reading the same material that I'm reading. You know, in the past, that was not the case. Not everyone had access to the Journal of Dairy Science. Now it's open source. Everybody can Google and they can get the papers that I'm reading. And farmers are doing that. So they are more savvy. They were always eager for information, but now they have more access. You with YouTube, right? Other companies that maybe are sourcing those farms, they are digesting the information and bringing to farms. So I think the role of the university changed to this more generational of applied information than necessarily only digesting.
What about the campus? So talk about the dairy farm and your students that are still committed to the dairy industry.
One of the things, and that's for my lab, I'm not sure it's for the whole campus, but in my lab, the goal is to get the student to their next step before they finish. So I'm committed to get my student, if they want a job, I need to find them a job before they finish the master's or the PhD. And so far, we've been 99% with that. So I'll say nowadays, if you get a program at the University of Illinois, and not just in dairy, but I would say in other areas, it's going to be very hard for you not to get a job out of it. And I think that's just, you know, there are some things that started with Hutchins, Jimmy Clark, others that have that traditional concept on how to teach, how to educate, and how to train them that I think the industry or even academia enjoys and is seeking for. So I think that's why we don't have shortages of grad students to help us with. And then every time I have one grad student, that grad student now needs help from undergrads. So oftentimes you have 10 to 30 undergrads helping, feeding the cows, collecting the milk, all that story. And then some of those undergrads may get interested in not only going to vet school, but they may want to go to grad school and pursue a career with nutrition, for example.
So you're milking between 120 and 130 head of dairy cows there. That hands-on experience, very, very critical. Do you have people that come in, think they're going to be a vet or go into the business world of dairy and end up being a dairy farmer?
So far, I had two students that they became grad students, that they became dairy farmers. So they came and we are able to give them more experiences at the farm with the day-to-day operations of the farm, like an assistant manager type of position, so they can learn that skill. And they went back to their family farm. You know, I wouldn't say that's the common pathway nowadays, but we still have that. And luckily, we can mold the program of that student to kind of reflect what they want. And I think that's part of getting them to the next step that can be go back to their family farm and help with the activities. Yeah.
Just a couple more questions. But so what is the most popular job placement, since that's such a priority for you guys now? If you have somebody with dairy science or animal science with a dairy certificate, what are they doing?
So then most of them, some of them, they just want to be a little bit more mature and get some more information before going to vet school. So some of those, they use that as their extra sauce or cherry on the top for their application to vet school. We have those, but most of them are going back to academia or to industry to help farmers feeding cows and translate that information. So I would say that those are the most common pathways. And it goes back a little bit on desire, financial desires, and other things that they may have. They may prefer one way than the other way, but I would say that still going back to vet school with a more complete or just taking the time to be more mature before going to vet school, or they're going straight to industry. So that's what we try to identify as early as possible so we can get them in projects and positions that are going to give them that connection. And they are kind of already an intern of that company doing their trial. So that's some of the strategies we try to do.
All right, final question. So you talked about your life today, educating dairy farmers, working with the campus, home in Brazil. Why dairy?
Yeah, that's interesting. And that's kind of, back in Brazil, while going through the vet school, I put myself in positions where I would try everything. Small animals, beef, and everything. And when I got to the dairy section, the pace of the industry and the challenge, that's what got me attracted. So one thing is the pace. You know, it's not just one season for breeding, one season for calving. No, everything's happening all the time. And the second thing is that usually the farmers that I used to work with, I saw that relationship of that's what they do to survive. That's their life. And when I went to horses or beef, that maybe was not the case most of the time around me, where that was a hobby and I didn't feel as accomplished. So I felt accomplished. They would pay for my services because they saw the benefit. And I saw that I was helping them to pursue better things in their lives because I was able to help them with the dairy farm. And I think I wouldn't have that in other maybe sectors. So I think it was the pace, the challenge, never on the same spot. There's something breaking, there's something different happening. And also that relationship with the farmer with that craft, that's their life. Yeah.